I've had about all the football I can take. And looking forward to getting back to something of more significance, which is the scripture. And so for the next several weeks, we will be studying the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Not sure of the number of lessons, but no doubt there will be many before we gain the sense of what this prophet of God has in store for those who seek truth. There's a peculiar connection between the Church of the One Body and Christ in this book there in Daniel. We as Gentiles and members of the one body of Christ have a unique and peculiar interest that belongs to the book of Daniel. Although Daniel never deviates from the two great themes of the prophecy, those two great themes are, first is, of course, Israel and the holy city of Jerusalem. The second great theme of that prophecy has to do with the kingdom of Christ at his second coming. Nevertheless, its prophecies are largely occupied with a period when Israel is set aside. We've studied that terminology, lo ami, meaning not my people, when they have been set aside in God's plan for the ages for a period of time. A time when dominion over the earth is held by Gentile power. It's labeled in the scripture actually as the times of the Gentiles. And that's where we find ourselves today, in this period, the time of the Gentiles. That's why the book of Daniel is so pertinent to our understanding. There's been a lot of critical attack on this book of Daniel. Various writers through the course of history have called the book fiction, pious fraud, and the strange thing, even a student like Dean Farr, who is a man who wrote one of the most extensive things that I've ever read on the life of Paul. Dean Farr had reservations with its date and official titles until excavations in the poor have proven the critics wrong. One criticism is the fact that part of the book is written in Hebrew, like the rest of the Old Testament, but part of Daniel is written in Aramaic. For example, you might want to note this, the Hebrew part is chapter 1 up to the second chapter, verse 4, and then Hebrew again in chapters 8 to 12. Then Aramaic fills in after the second chapter, verse 4, starting there in verse 5. We have Aramaic again from there, from chapter 2, verse 4, up to chapter 7, through chapter 7, Aramaic. There's a reason for that. We'll get into that as we progress through this book. The book was written in a period when both Hebrew and Aramaic were understood. And when we get to the Aramaic part, it will be better understood that Aramaic was a more appropriate language because of the strong Gentile character of the subject that is being written about. We'll look at it in greater detail later. There is a lot of positive testimony to its validity in other places of Scripture. Daniel's prophecy finds its goal in the kingdom of Christ. But the strongest proof is the testimony of Christ himself to this validity. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And in that 24th chapter of Matthew, let us begin with verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows, and then shall they deliver up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall enter into the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Notice the nature of the testimony. Daniel the prophet. And a little bit further over in chapter 24, look at verses 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her the light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the one end of the heaven to another, to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Christ here is referring to Daniel the prophet, lending credence to the book of Daniel itself. Matthew speaks of Isaiah the prophet, but Christ speaks of but two of the prophets in this way, and they are the two whose integrity is most challenged and whose witness was directed to the Gentiles today, and those being Daniel the prophet and Jonah the prophet. Again, when the Lord was brought before Caiaphas, he bore testimony to the truth of Daniel. Again, in chapter 26 of Matthew, Matthew 26, verse 57. Matthew 26, verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last, two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And the high priest, that's Caiaphas then, rent his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy." Christ was quoting from Daniel right there. In fact, he's quoting Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, when he spoke. And that also is quoted again from Psalms 110, verse 1. And what made Caiaphas so mad and frustrated that he rent his clothes was he realized that Christ was appropriating to himself the prophecy of Daniel 7. Because he quoted that. And he is attributing this to he himself. And we'll get to that eventually as we go further into the book and we come to this seventh chapter. And in that solemn hour of trial, and with death near at hand, the Savior bears personal testimony to the truth of the book of Daniel. There's further evidence about all of this with regard to Daniel by the angels. Turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Beginning with verse 4. "And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, the hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for the words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Below, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face upon the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him, and stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned unto me, and I have retained no strength. Or how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou, therefore I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, that there is none that holdeth with me these things but Michael, your prince. Michael in the scripture is a messenger of God. And this angel, Michael, one of two mentioned here in Daniel, comes before him. And I have an idea that if he were to stand here, we would all be on our hands and knees in the face of this being, Michael, the angel. Daniel's prophecy is by inspiration and direct revelation from God's messenger directly to Daniel. It's almost the same thing as the Apostle Paul, when the Lord, by direct revelation, gave him understanding of the church of the one body in Christ. This message will stand when the last critic will have perished. And as we consider together its inspired pages, there will be ample intrinsic proof of its truth. You know, he who could preserve Daniel from the lions can and will shut the mouths of all critics, and in the day of Christ bring forth his word in his triumph and glory. So, having said that more or less as a beginning, let's go back now and start at Daniel Chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, the time of the Gentiles we're dealing with. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, which part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, small g. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. With these words, we open the book of Daniel, and they are only paralleled by the words of Acts 28, if you want to know the truth. in their burden of crisis and dispensational change. Here we find a vast issue because the words cover the whole sweep of Gentile dominion, as we'll go forward in this book. Dominion that begins and leads steadily on for 2,000 plus years to the kingdom of Christ. And during that time, the dominion is by kings, queens, pharaohs, emperors, czars, Nazis, presidents, Democrats, Republicans, Muslims, Führers, social media, Satan, I hate to say this, feminists, the United Nations, generals, environmentalists, educators, ESG people. The dominion is complete and has been since Daniel started to write. And until we see that sign that's been spoken of here, this abomination that will bring the end of this domination, nothing changes. Still, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. We have not yet reached the time. In fact, there's no temple. At this point, there's no temple for this sign to be set up in. And that's a whole other subject, but I had some people that I dealt with in southern Indiana that tell me they have actually cut stones for the temple. And that those stones are in storage in Indiana. And that the Jewish nation has materials stored all around the world for this temple. But this sign that is spoken of in Daniel, the sign of abomination, is set up in the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, which we will get to. In the middle of that week, this sign of abomination is set up. But we know where we are in prophecy because there's no temple. Something drastic has to happen. I don't know what. But something drastic has to happen before we reach that 70th week that's prophesied in this book. And that's one of the things, particularly about the book of Revelation. It's difficult to understand and see what's being talked about because we're not there. It's been hid, it's been set aside, it's been prophesied, but we see it through a glass darkly. We don't know exactly, but it's there, and it's coming. What God had threatened here in the beginning of the book, he brought to pass. The nation of Israel would not turn from their evil ways, and because they would not, the Lord said, let's read what he said in Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, it's on page 1050 in your companion Bible. Jeremiah. Chapter 25, beginning with verse 9. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh and the voice of gladness, the voice of bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolate and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And that happened. History bears it out. I don't have to cover that. That happened. But the overall prophecy of the book is still in place. And the nation of Israel was set aside in these prophecies against it because they would not listen to what God was asking them to do. And it's unbelievable because they had the Ark of the Covenant, for example, the power of that Ark. Everywhere they went with that thing, they ran over everybody with it. But they just could not listen to what he was telling them. Now, one thing I need to cover here is an apparent discrepancy. It's not a discrepancy, but apparent. In Daniel 1 and Jeremiah 25, one says that the third year is connected to Nebuchadnezzar's siege, and the other says the fourth year. And some Sharpie may pull that up on you and claim there's discrepancy in the scripture. But the answer is that Daniel speaks of when Nebuchadnezzar set out from Babylon, while Jeremiah tells us when he arrived. That's the difference. That's between the third and the fourth year. And the reason for that is when Nebuchadnezzar set out along the way, he conquered, and we see this in Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 2, if you want to write that down. It tells us that along the way, once he set out, he conquered the Pharaoh at Carchemish by the Euphrates before he arrived at Jerusalem. So he was delayed in his journey. He had another battle there before he actually got to Jerusalem. Whatever the case may be, in Jeremiah and Daniel, it is quite evident that Israel's dominion is leaving them and is being transferred to the Gentiles. And we see such statements as, "And the Lord gave unto the hand." He turned them over to Gentile domination. We see it in Ezekiel chapter 21. Turn back to Ezekiel chapter 21. It's page 1135 in your companion Bible. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 25, "And thou, profane, wicked prince of Israel, whose days is come when iniquity shall have an end, thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him." He's taken away the kingship the position of prevalence of the nation of Israel. And the only person that will replace and change that is this one who comes, that he will give it to. And that, of course, is Christ on his parousia, his second coming. Daniel's prophecies are occupied with this period of overturning as a result of the abusiveness of the kings of Israel. They did not do. They brought in idols. We'll talk about those, what they are. And there will be no more glory for the nation until he comes again. The throne thus vacated here in Daniel 1 shall be occupied again, but only by Christ, the promised one. The time of the Gentiles is characterized by one great feature marked off by the Lord himself in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. One of the things that makes Daniel maybe difficult to study is because there's so much reference to it throughout Scripture by other prophets, and it takes a while to sort this stuff out, and hopefully over the next weeks and months we'll get a good understanding of it. But here, the Lord himself, in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." And here we are, right in the middle of it. And the time has not come. And there's considerable evidence. We'll have a better understanding as we get farther into Daniel, as we begin to look at his prophecies of Daniel 9, of the 70 weeks. But we are not there yet. And did you notice there in verse 1 of Daniel how it made reference to the gold and that they carried away? There's a lot of speculation. Let me go back and read that again. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came into Jerusalem and besieged it, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand, which part of the vessels of the house of God which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 12, you'll see that it says, let's look at that, okay? 2 Kings chapter 24. Let's start with verse 12. Start verse 11. 2 Kings, chapter 24, verse 11. "And Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came against the city, and his servants did besiege it. And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, went out to the king of Babylon, and he and his mother and his servants and his princes and his officers. And the king of Babylon took him in the 8th year of his reign, and he carried out thence all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, as the Lord had said." Do you think that included the Ark of the Covenant? Do you think the Ark of the Covenant's down in Ethiopia? Well, there's one down there, but it's not this one. When it says all the vessels of gold which Solomon, and so probably in the second temple, they made another ark and put it in there. And if it's in, it may well be down in Ethiopia in that church, which they claim. And there are those who claim that Jeremiah carried it off, which maybe he did. But here, this is pretty obvious that cut in pieces all of the vessels of gold. And like I say, there's even more with regard to this. If you wanna read and even more with regard to this, because you'll find then where some pieces were brought back to the temple. You can find this in the 25th chapter, verse 17 of 2 Kings. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse 10. Ezra, chapter 1, verse 7. Jeremiah, 27, verse 18. Jeremiah, chapter 28, verse 6. Jeremiah, chapter 52, verse 18 and 19. And of course, we read Daniel 1, verse 2. But we find another reference to it in Daniel chapter 5, verse 2 when we get there. So you got to go back. See what I'm telling you? Just this reference to this one subject in chapter 1 and 2 is mentioned throughout Scripture. And you got to get it all together in order to understand it. But when it says all golden vessels that Solomon made. Now, there was a lot of other things that were made that Solomon didn't make that were still in there that were gold. And you'll see if you read all of these references here that I've referenced, it shows where some of those was carried back in by Judah. I think I've gone on enough. In conclusion, I'd say the kingdoms that succeeded Babylon may have been larger, smaller, more powerful, or even weaker. They may have been more autocratic or less so, but the one essential characteristic of them all is dominion of Jerusalem. And it will only be removed when Christ returns in the second coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the understanding that we can have through your written word. I pray that as we continue to go through the book of Daniel, that you will give us open hearts and minds, that we may continue to grow in the knowledge of you and your plan for the ages. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.